Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, John? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggling.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the Queen of Trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Benny. I know the past 6 months have been crazy. You know, you dropped your album, you've been shot, you attended Hustlers Anonymous. How are you feeling?
I feel great. I feel wonderful. You know what I'm saying? I feel like the President of the United States of America. You know what I mean? I'm in business with three billionaires. You know what I'm saying? And I'm about hustling. I used to live in the projects 4 years ago.
Ah. The butcher coming, nigga. Hey, yo, Harry, you crazy for this shit.
The music got the Harry Cross.
The interviews talking plug talk. Got my name off of drug talk.
Told you. They don't make niggas like the butcher
yeah.
No more, man.
The interviews talking plug talk. Got my name off of drug talk.
They think I be glorifying the street.
Yeah. The interviews talking plug talk. Got my name off of drug talk.
I be glorifying how far we came, nigga. From the bottom.
Yeah. The interviews talking plug talk. Got my name off of drug talk.
Y'all niggas wanna know about it though.
Yeah. I only do it for the gangsters. Niggas telling me I saved it. Quarter million for a tour overseas. I'ma have to learn another language. You the richest on the team, but you still work the hardest, make changes. I fucked around and got famous right when the dope game got dangerous. And my interviews talking plug talk. On my last album I explained it. When the fork telling you to work, like I can clean a sink out and then drain it. Real niggas underrated. That's why we never celebrated. True story, got a quarter from my plug on the day I got raided. Held it down, I ain't losing. Zeke told but can't prove it. You hear sounds of the pot scraping. Me, I only hear music. Cosign, I don't need one. I was a shooter, now I feed one. 100 bands in the fridge next to a stick of butter and Capri Sun. My little bitch ass the fattest. Body like she work at Magic. And since I'm rich, I deserve her. If she fuck a broke nigga, that's tragic. I flew her in from Houston. She listen to Scarface and Travis. Got the coat with the F's on the jacket. Got the kicks from Bill Harbor to match it. The interviews talking plug talk. Got my name off of drug talk. The interviews talking plug talk. Got my name off of drug talk.
Got my name off of drug talk.
Yeah,
got
yeah,
my name
yeah,
off of drug
yeah.
Talk.
The interviews talking plug talk. Got my name off of drug talk.
10-toe solid nigga. That's what laying down get you.
Yeah. The interviews talking plug talk. Got my name off of drug talk. Yeah.
Yeah. Tony. Yeah. Bilingual and I'm multifaceted. Kris Kringle when I'm in my baggage. 100 feet above average. By 21 I was a savage. By 22 I had a foreign. By 23 I had crashed it. On 24s like Mashburn. 25 lighters on my dresser. Yes sir. Club talk like a Tesla. Bow hard, Uncle Fester. Did this with no effort. Put shoe in the hospital, put logos on a stretcher. Glide on them like Drexler. Slide on them like home plate. Man, you need to know the Colgate. Getting cheese like Colgate. I can make the fuck rotate. I only care about me, I tell you, have a birthday on the wrong day. Turkey bags was my best friend. Bodyguard was an FN. I need a good rush to put a jet in. Yeah, in a foreign, that's my element. Got a scale to wear an elephant. Hellbound, but I'm heaven sent. In the bank, be a filament. Mean I'm laughing with the bag. Hit my plug on FaceTime. Make an order with my hands. Yeah, the interviews talking plug talk. Got my name off of drug talk. The interviews talking plug talk. Got my name off of drug talk.
Big for sale.
Take one.
One time, they had it. Order up the load. I had to rob everybody in the whole house, grandmama and everybody. I ain't gonna lie, grandma had to go ahead.
I believe you. You robbed a grandmama. I believe you. You went to her titty to get it.
Scene 1A, take 3.
Tell me something you'll tell your younger self right now, man.
Man, I would tell him to leave the bitches alone. To leave the bitches alone and stack your money and go all the way.
I can talk to my younger self. I tell him to tell, you know, my partner to go on the rock the plug like he was planning on doing it. You know what I'm saying? Because I felt like I talked him out of it. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like I shouldn't have got in the way. I felt like that was God's plan and it wasn't for me to interrupt.
Really that simple. Ain't nobody fucking with me and Uncle Al. Discussing business with the gang, nigga. I be fucking bitches in my chain. A couple killers, I got tame, nigga. Them the fundamentals of the game. I'm up on niggas, you ain't fucking with us, so enough of jumping in my lane. I went from hustling to the stage with West, put me up a level, win a game, nigga, real brick talk, lead a Benz park. I kicked out and made the bitch walk, what you charge for this feature cost 20, that just means you niggas 10 short. I was sick of sitting in court, judge a white devil with a pitchfork. Used to have to call a cab round, now a nigga only drive imports. Respect the son, I can't earn for you, but loyalty I can return to you. Cause you was there when it was turmoil, a nigga still can get burned for you. If I'm around, I can learn from you, or I got a genuine concern for you. Put your homie on, he turn on you, no talking, we purge on you. It's not for the camera, I fucked the over a banister, the only a gangster can handle her. I really trapped all night, stamina, surviving off duchess and sandwiches. You throw a party, my shooters can cancel it. My label gon' cover the damages, say I'm the best. It never go to my head, but they at my show. Are chanting it. I went and got it. I did what they couldn't and I got receipts.
Look what I did, nigga.
Since 2018, I had a street.
Asked about the book.
City introduced me to the game. Doug game.
That's all y'all getting right there from that dope shit right there, man. What it is, man. This your man, King Eric, the media assassin. You're now tuned in to an exclusive off-the-cuff radio episode 564 on the line. Show hosted is sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, Cocaine Buddy Boy Entertainment, Fleetwood and the Cot Pickers, and Screwball Radio, which you can hear every Saturday night. Got my host T-Mash with the facts on the line. What's good, my brother?
Man, look, another incredible impromptu episode of That Fresh Frequency, OTC, Off the Cuff Radio. Shout out to our co-host, the Still Our Fan Man, and Lady Chinchilla and Spirit, and of course, Dirty Basement Radio. Shout out to DJ Sincere. And it's been a long time, but good things always come to those who wait. This gentleman that we have on the line tonight, and I have to first off give a personal thank you to all of the Black Soprano family, City Boy, Benny, Fuego Bass, Zookeeper, and of course, the Consigliere, the Scorsese of all of this, the man of many tremendous talents, a devoted dad, loyal to the crew, and all-around good guy. Ladies and gentlemen, the incomparable, the incredible, one of the dopest dudes in the game doing his thing, the tremendous Tony De Niro. What's going on, man?
What's up, everybody, man? I appreciate that. That was a nice introduction, man. I appreciate that. Respect y'all way, man. Shout out everybody listening. Shout out y'all for doing it. And, you know, you got to keep on going, man. I appreciate it.
Tony, we appreciate you. And like I said, for that love you showed me at the show back in May, man, April, May. I thank you. Dude, I cannot thank you all enough, man. Thank you so much again for all the hospitality and everything, man. I appreciate you so much.
No problem, man. We appreciate y'all for doing what y'all do and standing for something like this, man.
Definitely.
Yeah, man, y'all,
I mean,
yeah, y'all came through, y'all came through the city the other day, bro. You know how to say it, Raleigh, North Carolina. I would linked up with y'all right there, but I didn't know y'all was there. But y'all definitely get love out here.
No doubt. We
definitely
love everybody who loves us, man. We love everybody who loves us, man. You know that.
Man, look, and it's, look, much love of the one finger, you know, the index finger up for one love, and then the middle finger to the hater. You know how it goes.
Right.
So, I mean, we're going to get right to it. I mean, Tony, you know, you and the crew out of Buffalo, 716, getting rich. I mean, you all a legend. You know, I mean, shout out to East North, to Emerson, you know what I'm saying, Babcock, South Elliott, Elkhart, I mean, MLK Park, Squaw Island. I mean, you all covered a lot of territory. Tell us a little bit about yourself and just about the crew and how you all came together.
Man, well, you know, I'm born and raised in Buffalo, New York. You know, I'm into all good things for Buffalo. And, you know, whatever's the biggest and the best, man, you know, it's going to come together, man. You know, it's going to tie up in a knot. The realest and illest tied up in a knot. You understand? So that's kind of where we are with it. And, you know, we all come together with the same goals, you know, and we move like a real team, just trying to win the Super Bowl trophy and then do it again every year and just keep getting better and staying strong and giving the people what they're looking for, you know?
Absolutely. What was your introduction to hip-hop coming up in terms of how you got interested in the game?
Man, I like that question because I do a lot of interviews. People don't normally ask me that. In my introduction, basically, I was born in the city of Buffalo, so nothing wrong with being born anywhere else, but, you know, I was born in the city of Buffalo. So, you know, at school, hang on one second. Let me get this off my line.
Take your time.
So basically, you know, growing up, I was always around hip hop and stuff like that of that nature. You know, I was one of the, I was always one of the few guys like myself around a lot of different things. And like I said, I grew up in the city of Buffalo. So like my introduction, I was born in 85. So, you know, back in the early 90s, I remember, you know, East 1999, Bone Thugs and Harmony, the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers. But, you know, I was always a big DMX fan. So all the way from the start, I was really big with DMX. And, you know, we used to be in school with the cassette tapes. And even back then, believe it or not, I used to take tapes on one of them double-deck stereos. And I used to cut out my favorite parts and make a tape that had, like, one – I used to have a tape that had all my favorite – every DMX verse. Like, I used to do stuff like that. You know, I was always into music a lot, you know. And that's – I'm talking, like – 6th, 7th grade, stuff like that. You know, I was always into all that stuff. Music always helped me out, get through times and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I think from that perspective, Tony, because also Buffalo has its own rich musical history. You know, some guy, you know, legend, I think you heard of him. I think his name is Rick James. You know, he's from Buffalo.
Rick James
and of
is
course,
definitely a legend,
you know,
in Buffalo.
Yeah, you know, of course, the group Joe Public, you know, the band had a song, you know, Live and Learn. You know, they're from Buffalo as well. You all have, you know, it's more than the Buffalo Bills and chicken wings, you know, for what y'all have out there. You all have a real rich and distinguished history. When you look at your introduction and how it really influenced you and gave you an outlet of expression and, like you said, really helping you, you know, deal with what was going on. Buffalo is also known as a tough town in terms of the steel mills, you know, and just a lot of commerce and infrastructure, but we know it's also got some real street levels to it. What was it like just growing up in terms of the day-to-day and trying to, you know, navigate your way through it?
Growing up, I was always outside a lot as a kid, you know. So we all experienced different things when we were kids, you know. And you know, it was just normal stuff, or maybe it wasn't normal, but you know, like I remember one time as a kid coming in real late, like walking down this one street that's kind of deserted. I remember a car pull up and started shooting their gun off, wanted to see me running and shit. But I'm talking like I'm probably like 11 or 12, so certain stuff like that. It's stuff we still, like, I keep in my mind today why I might move certain ways and, you know, just realize, you know, everybody might not be your friend, you know what I mean? And, you know, you know, just stuff like that, like,
yeah.
Living and learning. To them, that was fun, like, you know what I mean? So, you know, and, you know, we might go and do some fun stuff like that, too, and it's like everybody has different levels and different ways they grew up, but it's like, I think however you grew up, that's what makes you who you are, you know, and, you know, it gives you purpose why you're here today and all that type of stuff, you know, when you make it through situations and stuff like that, you know.
Absolutely.
I remember all types of stuff growing up. When I was growing up, it was all types of stuff. There was stuff like that, but, you know, there was a lot of good times, too. We played a lot of, like, street football and you know, we were always in the street playing, you know, football and basketball and stuff like that. You know, we were doing all types of stuff like that, you know.
Definitely. How is that in terms of how you all forged the relationships in terms of camaraderie? Today, we see a lot of kids, they get so caught up in the internet and being on the phones that a lot of times, you know, King and myself, he's 40, you know, I'm 45. So we all grew up in that time, and, you know, you're 38. So it's like we all grew up in this time where we all were within that parameter of really being outside, really interacting, you know, really being around our peers and really seeing things, you know, in a tangible fashion. How is that important in terms of building the bond with the individuals, you know, Benny, City Boy, because we're going to get to later on how you met them. How did that really foster that friendship and strengthen those bonds that have remained solid to this day?
So hang on. I didn't quite get the question. Say that one more time. I'm sorry. How did you say that?
It's okay. Just you all being outside and just doing all those things kids do, playing football, basketball, all the things that really, really begin to forge those friendships. And, you know, like I was saying, we all come from a time, you know, with our age bracket where we were really outside and really doing things. So it really fostered those friendships. How was that for y'all in terms of how you really built those bonds that are still strong to this day?
Right. Well, I think again, just generally speaking, all those different things and how you react to certain stuff, you know, makes you who you are. And then, you know, and people that are strong people with good ideas, people who move certain ways, them tend to, you know, end up clicking together and forming a team. So it's stuff like that, you know, whereas, you know, certain stuff, you might react different ways, whether it was, you know, some people might react different ways, and that might be people that end up not forming to certain, you know what I mean? Everybody's got different teams out here, I think that's kind of, you know, who you hang with, because chances are they went through similar things and, you know, stuff like that.
Absolutely. How did you meet City Boy and Benny?
All right, well, Buffalo's a small town, so really I heard about Benny, and we're from two different sides of the town. Like, I'm from, like, the west side, the other side of the town, and he's from the east side. So, mm-hmm. You know, when I was out doing my stuff before, you know, I went to prison, I was getting into selling drugs and running wild before I went out of the football stuff once all the weed came into play, you know, which hit them 14s, 15s, and now, you know, there's other stuff going on in the neighborhood. I got caught up in that type of stuff. And but at the corner stores, you know, they always had the 2 Chainz Benny, you know, CDs, the other local stuff at these stores, you know. So everybody in Buffalo, you kind of knew who Benny was at a certain time. So like for me, you know, when I seen the thing and it said, like, Westside and Conway signed to Eminem, like, and then I read further into it and I seen Benny, like, Benny was the name I kind of knew, like, being from there, you know, and that's, like, Buffalo, like I said, you, a lot of people were, you know, there wasn't a lot of rappers, so you knew certain rappers, and so, like, when I was upstate, even when I was upstate, I seen a newspaper up there that had Benny on the cover, so it's like everybody kind of already knew who Benny was, and then, you know, when I was home, when I was trying to get into the entertainment business, I was making skits. I was doing skits, and I was trying to get on, you know, with, like, 50 Cent. I was trying to get on some of his TV stuff, and I was making a lot of promotional skits for, like, I did some for Benny, some for Uncle Murder, Mano, guys like that. So that's how I really met them. I met in really two different ways, and we had some mutual friends and stuff like that, but, you know, just Buffalo being a small place, you kind of know certain stuff, and then, you know, like I said, you might kind of work to get in that type of teams or whatever, you know, if you're like, hey, you want to get in the entertainment business, okay, I want to work with Benny, you know, and his group, and you know, being, it worked out that way.
That's dope.
That's dope, man. All three of those guys, they have a different unique style. Nobody sounds alike at all.
Oh yeah, right. No, they Westside and Conway kicked the door in and brought Benny through, and then Benny did the same thing for his guys like Rick Hyde and you know and the rest of the BSF crew, you know, and shout out to DJ Shay because you know everybody was, you know, at one time working under him or working through him, and he was had the studio, and you know I know them guys had been putting in that work for years, you know, making music and stuff like that, and like I said, we had some mutual friends, and you know even Conway, he was always, you know, so you see some of his videos from back in the day where he was doing the battle rap, and he's just, some guy's always been rapping, always been, you know, nasty with their work, and you know, it's just eventually paid off, you know, so that was dope to see that all come to light.
Man, you know, one thing about it, you know, Tony, is the King, you know, my brother, he was on y'all, and I got on y'all late. I got on y'all a little bit later. King has been, you know, because a lot of people don't know that in terms of what Conway started with Griselda. I mean, Westside with Griselda, you know, Griselda, that goes back like 2004. You know, in earnest when, you know, he started his label, you know. So this is a slow grind up in terms of everybody building it. Of course, you know, Conway and Benny come later with Drum Work and Black Soprano, respectively. As far as you, from what you said, because, you know, this is something that we did not know in terms of you were doing promotions. You know, you mentioned Mano and Uncle Murder. Tell us about how you found your entry into doing the promo game in terms of really, and what did you find and how this works in terms of trying to break artists in, or if they're already established, how do you get their music out there?
I'm sorry, was that a question? I kind of cut out a little bit. I lost it.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's about, it's about making it to the promo game. So, you know, you were saying you were doing work with Mano and Uncle Murder. So, and going to, what do you learn from working in behind the promotional game of the industry?
Like, how did I get into the promo game, you said? I'm sorry. The promo stuff?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yeah,
that,
I got
and,
the promo
yeah,
game.
That, yeah, that, yeah. Yeah, that
okay,
and what did you learn
basically,
from
yeah,
that?
Basically, yeah, basically. So I started doing these promo videos. I just had some crazy ideas, like some movie type crazy ideas, and I was like, I was just doing it for music that and people that I supported and that I liked. So I liked and listened to Uncle Murder and Mano and who else I did them for? I did them for I did some for 50 Cent that, you know, he probably never seen, but I did them for you know, of course, Griselda, Benny, Conway West, Rick Hyde. I've done skits for all of the guys, you know. And it was just me being creative, you know, I just always, you know, thought of some funny, crazy stuff, you know, and it was, you know, just funny, but in a crazy way stuff, you know, and I would incorporate part of the song and stuff like that. And one time the dude DK hit me up, he's one of Young Bucks, well, he used to be Young Bucks boy, he hit me up, he's like, yo, Buck wants you to do one of them skits for him. So I was like, oh, really?
Oh, wow.
So that time I got... Yeah, I got a cameraman that time, one of our boys from the town, shout out Slim Gus. I got Slim Gus to shoot that when I did the skit
It was for a song called Can't Lose. It was like when he got back with G-Unit. He was with G-Unit at the time, and it's called Can't Lose. I did the skit, sent it to D-Tay. Next thing you know, Young Buck had posted it, and he put, you know, the Can't Lose challenge. Even though there was no challenge really going on, he just found a reason or excuse to put it on his page and posted it up there. So it was kind of cool back then. And then I did one for him, too. He's like, yo, I need one now, too. So, you know, I was just doing it back at that time. And a lot of people around me, thought I was crazy for doing it. Like, oh, you're wasting your time. Oh, you're wasting your money. Like, man, nobody's going to see these. These ain't going to get you nowhere. I'm like, nah, these shits might get me into movies one day, because I was thinking, hey, I want to get into the entertainment business and make some entertainment money. I thought that would solve all the problems, but, you know, it's not always like that, you know. But that's what I was thinking. That's where my plan was with that. That's why I kind of was jumping into doing some stuff I liked and thought it would solve all the problems, you know, and get me in some movies and stuff.
One thing about it, Tony, that we really, really respect about you all, and why we wanted to get you on the show specifically, is because we know you got a story too. And when you look at the promo game in terms of how you used to do it, because people, I mean, you were ahead of the curve in terms of what would open up the door for eventually what you would end up doing to this day. So we're going to get into it later on about how you got into directing videos, of which you've done a few. What did you see about how the game worked back then in terms of promotion as to how it works now?
Well, one thing I felt like, too, because so many people are trying to talk down about it, like while you're doing it. For me, example, a lot of people were, you know, putting it down or, you know, there was more people against it than with it, I would say. So one thing that helped me is, like one day at Conway's pop-up shop, like I said, we had a mutual friend from a barber back in the day, Malek, they call him Chef Dredd. You know, he was a barber. He brought me to meet Conway one day when I came home from prison. One of my good friends was good friends with him. He's like, yo, come on, we're going to go meet Conway. And when he took me to meet him, that day just so happened, some of Uncle Murder's guys were there, like Kellen Blanco sent you, his name is on Instagram, his name is White, all them guys, you know, shout them guys out. His crew came, and I was doing the skits back then, and he told me, he's like, yo, yeah, you're the one doing them skits. He's like, yo. Oh, Murder fucks with them shit. You got to keep doing them. You got your own lane. They're a little different. And he's like, I remember him asking me, how many followers you got? I had like 300 at the time. He's like, nah, we're going to get those up. He called one of his boys, put me on the phone with him. He sent me some merch to wear in them. Then Uncle Murder started throwing them up. Uncle Murder was really the first guy to start throwing them on his Instagram page and tagging me, which was getting my followers. I used to always joke, you got to turn a follow to a dollar. You know what I mean? Like, turn it to a dollar. Like, I didn't care about the followers. I was trying to generate, you know, fans. I started selling shirts and hats. That's what I was really trying to do is turn it into people supporting me that could, again, make me money one day. And so to see people support it, that also really helps. You know, if you're doing anything, promotion, music, art, whatever you're doing, it definitely helps when people are supporting it. You know what I mean? But you also got to keep going and not give up. You don't just do a couple and be like, ah, man, these people are great. Maybe I shouldn't. No, you got to just keep going, and that shit eventually, it worked out. And, you know, I seen that firsthand, you know.
Man, that's rare, man. Especially in this business here, because we live in a time where people will literally take your hard work and just post it and then don't even tag it. And then it's a hassle to get in touch with those people. And I'm like, you wearing my merch and then you're not tagging me. So it's a good look on that behalf for Uncle Murder to look out for you like that. Yo, this business here is crazy. A lot of people do that.
My real shit. And his boy, before Uncle Murder even posted it, the man they connected me to at that pop-up shop, shout out my boy, he's got a company called Bag Life. I ain't talked to him in a minute, but he's got a company called Bag Life. He sent me the shit. He put me in a position immediately before I did the skits. He's like, yo, here's a login. For each hoodie that sells, you know, put this link in your thing or whatever, but each hoodie sells, you get this much. Each hat sells, you get this much. And, you know, back then a little handful of shit sold to where I probably made, you know, a good few hundred dollars, maybe even up around $1,000, or you know what I mean? But he put me in that position to where I wore it, posted the link, Uncle Murder shared it, And, you know, it ended up generating some money, too. So, you know, it actually put me in a position to actually be able to make money, too. So, you know, that was some real shit right there. You know, that was solid.
You know, one thing about it, Sony, because we can appreciate your hustle, and we appreciate everything you say about it because, you know, King and myself, you know, and King especially because he's the founder of All For Tough Radio, and I'm just so blessed to be a part of this as well for the past 6 years. We know what it's like in terms of getting out there and hustling in terms of talking to people, you know, using the resources of really just nothing more than a love of hip-hop and the knowledge that we have and just respect for others and recognizing their hustle and their determination. But like you said, you know, you're going to have those naysayers that say you can't do it, you're wasting your time. But when you got a love, a method, and most importantly, a desire and a want that exceeds, you know, the criticism, you're always going to have a reason to celebrate and cross that finish line. You said what now?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was driving.
It's all good. Yeah. But it's always important to know that no matter what anybody says, you got that inner strength that you know you're going to excel even when others say you're going to fail. And you know you're going to cross that finish line. You know, and that's kind of like, you know, what independence like Nipsey did with the marathon. That's what you all, you know, with BSM, what you all embody in terms of the street. As you progressed in it, what was the next evolution after that in terms of being able to do the promos and then taking it a step further?
In my promos, I always knew a lot of people, so I had a lot of different like locations and ideas like that. So really, again, my boy Slim Gus one time invited me to help him out at a video shoot, and it was for Benny and El Camino. It was a song called Rayful Bags, and for that video shoot, I put together all the scenes, a big warehouse that we needed, a car mechanic shop, and I helped put that video together, and then from that video, it led me to the studio, you know, Shade Studio on Parkside. They invited me over there, City Boy, they invited me over there, and then we plotted out the video for Long Way. It's called Long Way. That was the first video I worked on, like with Slim Gus and City Boy and Benny, and we went in. Same type of thing. I knew a guy who had a boat. I knew another guy who had some land with some four-wheelers, and we just put some ideas together with what we had access to, and that's kind of where the skit started to transition into the video stuff, using my same ideas I would usually do a skit with. Now we started doing music videos with them same ideas and same, you know, resources and stuff like that, you know.
This point here you started
transitioning into wanting to be involved with the business and becoming a manager for what we know now is the business for Benny now. Now, what are some of the challenges that you have to deal with managing artists for those who don't know?
As far as managing artists? I'll tell you, there's a lot of issues of managing an artist. You get a lot of people, just misunderstanding you. That's the main thing I would say. You get people jealous of you. You get people hating on you. People that, you know, just maybe you don't get credit for what you do. Maybe sometimes you get all types of weird stuff like that. I don't pay attention to none of that. I don't pay attention to none of that stuff. But I see it. I acknowledge it. And I see it for what it is. You know what I mean? But that's really the only problem. See, me, I'm more like Benny's probably got five managers. I'm one of the guys that's, you know, more or less his friend, and I'm his day to day type of guy, boss. That, you know, I might drive the car. I might carry his wife's luggage. You know, I might run to the store if he needs me to. Or I might bust a deal like I did a Buffalo Bills deal for him. And that was a great deal that we did, like multiple deals with them. And
You know, there's so many deals I can't even think of, but, you know, I do a whole lot of stuff. So me being a manager, he introduces me that as that sometimes. I just do what I do, and that's just the title that sometimes falls with it. Or, you know, like I said, you know, and I know sometimes people DM me like, yo, I see you work with Benny. Yo, can you be my manager? It's not even like that. It's not like that. Because me being a manager is like, number one, I'm busy and just loyal. Just it's like you're on a football team, you know what I mean? Like if me and Benny and
right.
Rick Hyde and guys BSF were the Buffalo Bills and City Boys offensive coach, and we got Jake on there, you know, and he's the president. We got all these people that are involved in the team. All we're doing is trying to win for the team, you know what I mean? We don't have time for nothing else. We don't, you know, it's not all planned out and plotted like different stuff. Sometimes it is, but a lot of it is just every day just thinking and taking whatever's coming at us, boss. You know, might be a phone call. We might get a phone call for a show tonight. I might get the phone call, you know, and say, hey, oh, okay, what you guys got? I might schedule a feature. You know, and he's got other people that do that too. So it's like we're all working for the same purpose, you know, for the win, you know. Like I was saying, we want to go to the Super Bowl and keep on going every year and win.
When we look at how you all move, Tony, because how you broke that down, it definitely, you know, of course, we got to interview Chris Soprano about a month and a half ago. We really enjoyed having him on.
He's a hard worker right there.
Yes, he is. One thing that I really have always appreciated about you guys is that, you know, when you have crews and then you have crews that are not afraid to mingle with people, to like I said, when I met you all, you know, it was just, even going a couple years back when we were City Boys, you know, when I hit them, it was no issue. You know, we scheduled it, and we had a great time with them. You know, I see y'all at the show a couple of years later, you know, and it's like it was just love. And, words cannot express my gratitude and King's gratitude, because this was part of it, you know, doing it for the team with Off the Cuff. So we understand what it means to have a unit cohesively that works together in every position. Your position is just as important with everybody else, because you're the guy that ties up the loose ends and brings in the resources that the team might not have readily available because they got other things going on. When you talk about the deal that you brokered with the Buffalo Bills, tell us about how that whole thing came about the Buffalo Bills anthem that Benny ended up writing for the team. How did that conversation come about with the team?
Oh, man, well, like I said, Buffalo's a small town, and anything that's going to be the biggest and best, it all just is connected one way or the other, or gets connected one way or the other. And I had some family that knew some people at the Bills, and we did an interview with Kim. It started with an interview with Kim Pegula, and we got Benny on there, and they were talking, and she told him she wants to see him make a Bills Mafia song, that he should do it. So we did that, but we also were doing business at one of, they had a printing factory, so the idea just came, hey, well, let's do a merch collab, you know, and drop it with the song. So so that's literally what we did. You know, the guy I knew back then, he was a vice president of the Bills, and we were doing some other printing business, and we threw the idea around there, and we just got it done, you know, to do a merch collab and the song, and then we, you know, tied that in with the music video at the stadium, and, you know, it ended up being that easy, you know, even though it seemed like it was so far away, all of a sudden, boom, it was right in our face that easy.
And you all echo that tenacity of the Bills tradition. I mean, when you look at the past greats, like Thurman Thomas, you know, Bruce Smith, who's from my state in Virginia, you know, Norfolk, where I was born.
Yeah.
Cornelius Bennett,
yeah.
Jim Kelly, you know,
yeah.
Andre Reed, you know, Doug Kelly,
yeah.
Because he gave y'all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, Fearless Price.
Yeah,
he played for y'all.
Right,
I mean,
we're huge Bills fans. And at this point of our life, it's crazy to us because, like, for example, we've been doing so good, and you know, again, the resources and dots that we're already connected, you know, that we're connected, and we just continue to expand on. You know, me and Benny and City Boy, we ended up out at Andre Reed's wedding out in San Diego. We got invited, and
That's
like, yeah. So we were out there with Andre Reed, his wife Teresa, and then you know, I also booked a deal for Benny where a guy was, he sells all the autographs in Buffalo. He pays, you know, he does these signings with Josh Allen, with everybody really. So one day he booked Benny and did a signing. It was Benny at one table and Bruce Smith at the other table, and they're both signing football helmets and stuff like that. So it's like, for us being from Buffalo to now being, I guess you could say, friends with some of these legends that we grew up looking up to, you know, it's like everything came full circle, you know, and again, that's because of the hard work and building the right team, you know what I mean? Like I said, you know, in Buffalo, man, I got to say this too, just so people know, I'm Italian, you know, so when some people look at me as a white guy in BSF, I'm Italian, man, I got to let them know, because Italian people know a lot of people. It's a small community with Italian people who are different.
Yes,
y'all
do.
You know, so I got to always give credit to that, too. That's why I got to give credit to my Italian side, because that did a lot for me, too. You know, my family's been here forever, and, you know, a lot of times we're related to, you know, a lot of Italians are related and, you know, been here forever in Buffalo and got, you know, good positions so in the community. So it's like, you know, again, it all just came together, you know, in the right way.
Yeah, Paisano, see, yes, absolutely. you know, Capo de Tutti Capo, boss of our bosses, yes. I mean, definitely. When you all look at the game, because you have, what is it, how gratifying has it been, Tony, to where you all have maintained the independent status that you all have and have been successful in the independent route?
Man, stuff like that. Like, a lot of people will be like, you know, talk shit and think people got deals, but guess what? That Buffalo Bills deal, which it was huge to us, that was independent. You know what I mean? That was independent. A lot of Benny's projects, all his beginning projects, obviously everybody was independent forever until they got a deal. That's what, you know, some people may make up some stories about, you know, wanting to be independent and thinking independent is, you know, whatever, but most people that are independent work to get that deal, to work with a major company. And nothing changes. Mm-hmm. The only thing that changes is they offer up some money, and it's a business deal to make that artist bigger and also help their company look good, too, because they're trying to build a team and win a Super Bowl, too. So nothing's wrong with getting a deal. Nothing's wrong with being independent. Nothing's wrong with getting a deal with a major company, because that's what people work towards. Before Benny signed a major deal, he got BSF a deal with E1, you know, who's called Monarch. He before he even got himself a deal, he got, you know, Rick Hyde, and got BSF as a company a deal, you know. So, again, you know, that deal just brings in a lot of money fast, you know, and investments. Like, you know, they want, you know, they help you put better videos together, bigger videos, maybe get some marketing. They make some phone calls and, you know, they're supposed to make some phone calls and get you maybe a feature that you want, stuff like that. That's what labels do, you know. Whereas, you know, you see Benny Plugs I Met and Plugs I Met Too, he did that all on his own. The label didn't call nobody for him for that. He got Black Thought on there. He got Pusha T on there. He got Jadakiss on there, you know, and so whether you're independent or on a label, you know, it's all about the effort you put into. You know, that's most important, the effort you put in. You know, and our whole team, we are hard workers, and we all got ideas and try to do it on our own. We try to do the most stuff we can on our own, and we barely ever ask for help because, you know, we help each other, our team. You know, our BSF Records, you know, we all help each other. That's what yeah. You got to do if you want to build a team and get somewhere in this game. That's how you got to do it.
Absolutely.
What you know what's dope about you guys' movement is, just like T-Mac mentioned earlier, I've seen y'all guys going from the ground up, going back to like 2015, where Westside was dropping the Hitman series. Then you slowly started seeing a lot of bigger artists started doing collabs with you guys. You started seeing Prodigy doing tapes with Conway.
Right.
Then you started seeing Raekwon
yep.
passing me all the torch. Now, when
yep.
you seen guys like Eminem and Jay, you know, giving y'all the stamp of approval, did you guys see that y'all crowd started getting bigger? Did your following start getting bigger?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Benny always tells that story about when he was on them BET Hip Hop Award Cypher with Eminem. He said that night alone, his thing was just going crazy that night. All these followers just piling onto his social media, just that freestyle that night. And, again, you know, that's what's going to build you as an artist. You know, you just got to be out there working and get into those places and get that following. Once the fans like you, you know, you might get one good fan, and he tells his friend, and they tell three friends, and now it's just going to keep on building, you know.
You know, and one thing about it, Tony, and once again, we can relate it off the cuff radio, you know, I remember, you know, and I've been blessed in terms of where I've come in at it, because I've been with, you know, my brother here for all of our shows, because like the major shows, like 200, 300, 400, 500, and soon to be 600. So to see, there's no greater gratification than to watch something that you're a part of, especially people you love and care about, to see it grow and you be a part of it. And, you know, to watch, you know, our interactions on IG, to watch our YouTube channel, to see all the people that have really, really started fucking with us heavy. I mean, it just feels good, man. I mean, even with y'all, you know, when I brought all my stuff to the show, it's like, all I can say is, you got a fan for life with me, and King as well. You know, we're here. You know, we're going to support y'all in every way that we know how to help build a big, you know, BSF brand and make it bigger, you know, than what it already is, if that's possible, because y'all are pretty damn large.
Right. Like I said, even if you tell one person who didn't know, that's enough. You know, every one person at a time, that's how we get places, you know, one person at a time.
So tell us about how BSF Records became a thing in terms of the idea of when you all decided to make it a label.
Well, yeah, that story is more with Benny. Basically, I know on one of his prison bids, he came up with that, I believe, in Elmira, the correctional facility with our boy Bundy out there in Spring Valley. Shout out them guys out there, Bono, Bundy, them guys in Spring Valley. But Benny and Bundy were incarcerated together, and that's when he came up with the idea, which I believe was, what, 2012,
yes,
I think,
sir,
was
that's
the
when he
official
came home.
Year.
That's when he came home.
When he came home, 2012, he brought that idea, I think, to City Boy. But previously, he had another label called Black Blood with his brother Machine Gun Black, and them guys used to all rap.
Rest in peace.
That. And, yeah, rest in peace, Machine Gun Black. And then when he came home, they switched it over to Black Soprano Family, and, you know, City Boy went and got incorporated and started doing all the merch, and, you know, the rest is history, you know. So I believe 2012 is the original year that we call the start of all that.
For all the wins that you have all had, I mean, rest in peace to Machine Gun Black, rest in peace Shay. I know it's bittersweet in terms of the success you all have had, but losing a lot of your guys along the way. What have you learned about this business in terms of the wins and the losses, the gains, and, you know, everything else, the pluses and the subtractions? What have you all learned about it?
What have we learned, man? It's either going to make you or break you. You know, that's what any win loss you ask me. It's either going to make you or break you. And you know, you gotta be strong, man. You gotta be strong in this game or any game, to, because you're gonna deal with a lot of stuff. You're gonna deal with tests every day, where, you know, it might be a test to, you know, who knows what. You know, any type of test. It could be anything, but there's a lot of wins and losses, all that stuff. You gotta apply it. You gotta apply it and make sure you don't let stuff become a stumbling block. You got to let it be a stepping stone. You know, you got to try to use stuff and
you know, and try to move past it. Otherwise, it's going to tear you down. And you know, sometimes stuff might tear you down for a little while. But as long as you got it in you to get back up and keep going, like I said, that's the most important thing. That's the most important lesson. You gotta, no matter what, like I said, it's got to be part of your ingredients on why you're different or why you keep going or maybe why you're like, damn, why can this guy work so much? Well, shit, maybe it's because he's looking at all the shit he's been through and like, you know what? I'm nonstop. I'm not even stopping. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And guys like me, we don't even realize or call it work. You know, it's just our normal self, you know. I don't call what I do work. I don't call what I do plays. I just do what I can do. Like, that's why you don't see me bragging about deals because, like I said, I can go on for days. You know, but it's like that's why I don't you don't see me bragging about stuff and stuff like that because I don't really count it. Sometimes I got to stop and think about it and be like, oh, should I, you know, all the stuff I do. But, you know, like I said, I don't call it work. You know, it's just you just got to be natural with it.
You know, one thing about it is that when we, you know, when we do what we do, us all being entrepreneurs, because that's what we are, people wonder how, you know, you're able to do what you do. People ask us how we do what we do, and it's the same answer that you say, you know, Tony. You can't go to school for this shit because hustle is something that is innate. That's something you cannot fake.
You either do it or don't. Same thing how they say with common sense. Like common sense ain't common. You either got it or you don't. You know? You know, like I had a post. I made a post a few weeks ago on my page. I made a post on my page a few weeks ago. Where I listed all the videos I shot. I never kept track of that, but one day, for example, Busta Brick St. Nick, you know that song, Benny's on Santa Talk 3?
Yeah.
So for Busta Brick St. Nick, Benny finally circled back, and I hadn't really done videos since Santa Talk 3. Nothing too crazy anyway. So Benny, through the label, he's like, yo, Tone, I think we should do a video. Let's get one. Let's get the label to pay you. And you know, he incorporated a few other people but got me on there to do a video. So that was Busta Brick St. Nick. And the lady, one of these, you know, film crews, because I never was a guy that hold the camera or edit. I just put the ideas together, get the resources, all that type of stuff, and kind of paint the picture. So one of the big companies, you know, that the label hired is like, hey, send me a list of the videos you've done or you worked on. And I started adding them all up. Man, I had like 30 videos or, you know, 25 at that time. And I was like, man, I can't send them that list. I'm like, you know, and I'm on the credits to all the ones I sent them, you know, as a co-director, as a producer, as a creative director, one way or the other, I was on the credits, you know, and I'm like, wow, I had a badass list that I never really, until I really was forced to stop and add that up. I was forced to really add that up. Like I said, I just keep going. I don't sit there. How they say it? They say we don't count score. We just keep scoring. You know what I mean? I don't count score. I just keep scoring. You know what I mean? Where some people that aren't genuine, those are the ones that count score and keep on. Oh, you know what? I did. You know that one time I tied this shoe string over here. You know, hey, that one time I don't do none of that shit. I don't do none of that shit. I don't keep track of if I swept the floor, if I jumped, ran a marathon. I don't nickel and dime nothing. You know what I mean? I just like I said, I work hard, and I'm focusing on is winning with the team and making us bigger, better and better, so we can all take care of the kids and after we take care of our people, then we can take care of other people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Now, you're also a big boxing aficionado.
Say that again?
I said, oh, absolutely. Go ahead, King.
No, go ahead. Okay, I say again. Also, too, Tony, we know you're a big boxing aficionado, too. Please tell us about your interest in the science of pugilism with the punches.
Oh, the boxing?
Yeah.
Okay, so boxing to me was, I know Benny told the story how I bought this boxing ring like 3 years ago for us and said, "Hey guys, we own a boxing ring now. You know, this is how much each person owes." It was me, City Boy, Jake, and Benny, because we got the sports agency, me, City Boy, Jake, and Benny. So I bought this boxing ring, and then I told them, yo, this is how much y'all owe me. We own a boxing ring. We never did shit with it. I knew there was money in it, and we all liked boxing, and I really liked boxing because my great-uncle, Vinny Calla, he was a big boxer in Buffalo. You know, he was famous out here in Buffalo, and you know, he had pictures with everybody. He had pictures with everybody from Muhammad Ali to Rocky Marciano, to Don King, to Sugar Ray Leonard,
oh, wow,
to Roberto Gonzalez, anybody who was somebody. He when they came to Buffalo, he was with them guys, you know. So mm-hmm. He was always like somebody I look up to and respect, and he was in the boxing world. So you know, it was just natural that I liked boxing because of that. So that's really where that came in for me.
Absolutely, because you all recently had a boxing event. So tell us about how that came to be.
That was really just that. You know, somebody called Benny up with this idea about doing a boxing event. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we really, sometimes we don't even have the staff for this stuff. So when somebody else calls us and says, hey, I got this idea, I'll do this, this, and that, we're like, hell yeah, okay, let's run it. So they called Benny with this boxing idea, and Benny's like, shit, we got a boxing ring. Let me connect you with my guy Tony, and let's run this play together. You know, let's do it.
Man, I mean, so the sports agency, tell us about how the sports agency came about.
We can try. Say that one more time.
Oh, the sports agency. So tell us about how you all came up with the idea for the sports agency.
Same thing. We had just so many players that were like our friends, and you know, players that were our friends, and we're like, you know, even Benny, he was, you know, he's getting tagged in a lot of stuff, people working out and people, you know, playing ball, listening to his music in the locker room and stuff. He's like, yo, you know what? Some of the people we know, we could, let's get a sports agency, and we can try to get these people deals, you know. So mm-hmm. We did the sports agency, opened that up, and I'm gonna announce it on your show, first time in public. This is being announced, but I got my boy Deion, a big Deion Dawkins from the Buffalo Bills, who's my personal friend.
Okay.
I introduced to this BSF music and Benny and everything. We connected the dots with that, and I ended up getting him a Monster Energy deal. And,
yeah.
And he's the only active NFL player that got a Monster Energy deal right now. So that was like huge.
We got exclusive. We got an exclusive here on Off the Cuff Radio,
right,
y'all.
Dude.
Y'all heard it first. Man. Dude, we're honored that you would give that announcement on our show. Wow. I mean, man. Yo. Man.
Yeah, you guys heard it first. I same thing. We, you know, Benny had the Monster Energy deal, so I just utilized the connections we already had with Monster and
mm-hmm.
told Deion, hey, Deion, you know, he works his angle too because he's just like us, a hustler, a hard worker. So he made some custom Monster cleats. So he's wearing them on the field, sending me the picture. I'm taking the picture, sending them to my Monster contact. Like, man, you guys got to do something with Deion. Oh, he's in the Pro Bowl. It took a while. Deion's a 2-time Pro Bowler now. So it took a while. It had, you know, it took some talking, and it took some, several months. Maybe even we might have even worked on that for 2 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kept working on it and never gave up on it. And eventually they busted a big deal with us for Deion from Monster Energy. So it was huge. He's happy. We're happy. You know, it was big. It was big.
That's dope, man. I mean, that's huge. I mean, when you think about how you all have been able to progress and advance,
yep.
When you look back at your life in terms of where you started from and, you know, even the detours that came along the way and looking at the moves you're making now, how does it feel? Because Benny Steele was called, you know, thank God I made it. And I really wish I got to address all of you at the show to just say thank God for hip-hop. All of you have made it and still here with us. What does that feel like for all of you?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
It's okay. In terms of, you know, how does it feel knowing what everything you've been through to this point, even with ups and downs, and Benny's tour was called Thank God I Made It. Of course,
the Thank God I Made It tour, right.
Yeah, and, but, I mean, I was, you know, just, everything was just, that night was so crazy, but I really wanted to address everybody and tell you all, thank God for hip-hop. You all made it, and you are still here. How does that feel with everything, knowing you all have gotten to where you are and are really in a position to really maximize everything that you all have achieved in further fashion?
Man, yeah, it just shows you, you know, your dreams can come true. Shows you your dreams can come true. Shows that, you know, if you're really, you know, got a vision to, let's just say, build a house, and you actually put the work in to build the house, you can really do it. You know what I mean? You can really make it come true. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you got to thank God because, like I said, even from stuff as we faced growing up as a kid to stuff we faced, you know, our whole life, it's like God kept you here for a reason. You know, thank God you made it because, you know, if it wasn't for God, none of us would be here, right? You know, so that's the fact of that matter. So, you know. That's what I could say about that.
Well, what were one of your favorite? Personally, what were one of your favorite Benny projects?
Man, it's hard to say that. Benny sometimes jokes and says that you know, his projects are like his kids, so he doesn't want to pick which one. I feel the same type of way about that. I can't really pick a favorite Benny project, to be honest with you, because I love them all. I know it's all real. It's relatable. It's helpful to, you know, get you through stuff in life. They're all just got different meanings. But I think Tana Talk 3 is an important one to always mention because that's what turned things up a notch. You know, you had Tana Talk 3, and then you had the big, you know, with Burden of Proof. But I really liked Even a Friend of Ours Means a Lot to Me, the Friend of Our project, because that's the first one I really was, you know, working with Benny. There's a skit on there from a relative of mine from a restaurant, from the fellow that was in the Joe Pesci video. So Friend of Ours kind of, it means a little extra to me because that was kind of where I started working on the music with Benny and was actually part of BSF at that time, brought on to BSF at that time as a creative director, which eventually turned into the general manager of BSF.
Man,
you know,
it's so much history that has been made with you guys. When you look at we want to backtrack a little bit. So when you did the Monster Energy deal, tell everybody about how negotiations work when you're trying to get an endorsement deal. In terms of what do artists, what do people need to understand in terms of how these conversations go in terms of with personal branding and how companies will pick you to be an ambassador for their brand?
Well, I think if it doesn't just fall on your lap, if they don't come knocking at your door, which most of the time people don't, especially unless you're at a very high level, they're not going to come knocking at your door. You might have some ideas of who you want to work with, or who your client wants to work with. He might say, "Hey, you know what? I want to do a cereal deal," which I'm still trying to work on a cereal deal for my one guy. He wanted to do a cereal deal. So sometimes you might have an idea what you want, and then you know you got to make it look beneficial to that company. Why do they want to invest in you? Why?
Right.
You got to give them a reason to say, "Hey, you know what? This guy can help our company. This guy would be a good guy." Again, it all goes back to that, you know, that sport of like a football team. That company's trying to build their team. You know, Monster Energy is a competitor of Red Bull. You know what I mean? So Monster Energy wants to build their team and be bigger and badder than Red Bull. You know what I mean? So it all comes down to that back to that team reference I always use, which in this, you know, my case, I always use football because everybody wants to go to the Super Bowl and win that trophy and do it again and again, you know. So that's what I would say. You know, you gotta think about that corporate company that wants to build their team. They want to build their wins. You know, you got to give them a reason. You know?
Got to have a plan strategy as well.
Right. Exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
And to echo what, you know, you and King were saying about how that works, what do artists have to understand today about fuckery online and about how you just avoid looking stupid trying to get attention?
I'm gonna be up there in a second. Yeah. Basically, I would say the answer to that would be is, you know, again, you gotta be careful and know who you're playing with. You know, because some guys get on there and, you know, quote unquote troll people. You know, you see what happened with 6ix9ine. They caught him in the gym and whooped him. You know, you see what happened to certain people. They say certain things that cross lines, and you know, and then hey, you know, you might get beat up for stuff like that, or you know, there might be bad consequences to your actions, you know. So it's like, just be careful of the energy you put out there, because you might get that energy back, you know. So if you put out good, you're gonna get good. You put out bad, you might get bad back with you, you know. So I would just say, you know, sometimes you got to just pick and choose your battles. Like with anything, just pick and choose your battles. Some stuff might not be worth a response. Sometimes you might say, you know what, I don't give a shit, but I'm going to go ahead and type this clown a sentence or two just to throw a little, you know, push back at him, you know, push him back a little bit, you know. Or sometimes you might just ignore it all the way, you know. So, yeah, you got to just pick and choose your battles.
Yeah, that's
picking
important.
And
choosing.
What up, man? How you doing, bro? I just put sanitizer on. Sorry, what was that?
No. No, it's important. I mean, I like what you were saying. King, go ahead. What were you saying?
I said, it's not, the cloud is not worth it at the end of the day.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
And that's not good for endorsement deals either, because even though someone might throw rocks at you, as soon as you throw a rock right back and boom, your rock might knock them on their ass, you know, next thing you know, you're the bad guy. It's like, hang on, wait a minute. You know, so you got to just be mindful of that. You got to always think of the big picture, man. That's all.
And that's important. And the one thing about it is, we've seen a situation, Tony, because we all come from a different era of hip hop where, even from the street level, where if you really had to have a real reputation out there before you could lay claim to certain, you know, declarations, you know, like if you was really out there. He was really outside. People knew you were. We're seeing a weird time now where a lot of people are getting out there talking and blabbermouthing and acting like they can't get blasted. And we've seen a few people catch a hot one because they was talking hot. You all really lived it in the street. What did you all learn about being out there, the dangers, and how much being in a paid profession like you all are in that pays very well? About separating the street business from the business dealings?
Well, I mean, at this point, I think that decision was made a long time ago because, like Benny said a while ago, you can't have one foot in, one foot out. You know, you got to be all in on this for it to work, or it's not going to work. So, you know, what do they say? You got to know where you've been to know where you're heading. So that way you can separate basically to make sure you know, okay, I don't want to go down that road again. You know, if there's a fork in the road and you know, hey, everybody's taking that right on the fork. All right, well, now you know you better take that left instead of going where everybody else is going. Otherwise, you know, you're going to get what everybody else got. You know, so it's just like I said, living and learning and making sure, you know, whatever you experience, you know how the lock said it, living off experience, make sure you live off experience, because if you don't live off that experience, you know, your L's you took, they're not lessons, they're losses. And I mean, you don't want to, instead of taking a loss, make that shit a lesson. You know what I mean? Make that shit a lesson.
Yep.
That's why I said, some people, make their experiences, oh, I grew up this way, and let it become a stumbling block instead of a stepping stone, you know what I mean? Instead of them using it to say, okay, you know what? Even me in prison, I made some good connections in prison with people that, you know, are into writing movies and all that type of stuff. I know, I just seen them. Thank you.
Absolutely. Now, one thing about it, we know the most, we know in terms of what you do is highly important and pivotal to the crew, but you also have a job that's way more important than that, and that's being a father. How is it, how gratifying
you,
is it to being a dad and being able to really, really.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I got to just wrap up because we just got to this place. But go ahead. Go ahead with that.
Okay. Yeah. I was just saying. I said the only job that supersedes the one you have now, which you do in an excellent fashion, is being a devoted and dedicated dad. How rewarding is it to know that you know, you got a family, you know, that, you know, backs you on this, and that you are able to be there for them, and they're there for you.
You know, it's really hard because, again, with this music stuff, this stuff will occupy all your time. I'll be going. It'll occupy all your time. So, you know, again, you might be going all in, especially with the stuff we're living. You know, it's a lot of traveling, a lot of everything. So, you know, it isn't. Even if your plan is to be the best father and the best provider and all that stuff, you know, sometimes they might not see it that way. They might be looking for other stuff from you that, unfortunately, because of the lifestyle or job you're living, you can't provide for them. You know what I mean? So, you know, I take care of all my business that I can. And then, you know, sometimes it's like it might never be enough. You know, and we all might go through that, you know, because sometimes people don't credit you for the stuff you do. They credit you for the stuff you don't do. They, you know, or they'll point out the stuff you didn't do instead of what you do, you know. So, you know, again, it's just, you know, it's a roller coaster, but you got to just strap on, be strapped in, and be on for the ride if you're on for the ride, Paul, you know.
Definitely. Tony, we know you got to get going. It was a long time coming. But we got it
but
done.
And you know what? Hang on. Let me say real quick to go off what we just talked about.
Shout out
to our kids because, you know, that's who we set out to doing it all for originally. You know, when I was doing all this originally, that's what I was doing it for. You know, like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then, you know, along the way, things might go however they go. But at the end of the day, you just got to keep on with that mission, you know.
And we know you, City Boy Benny. You know, you all are fathers and damn good ones. You know, good dad gang all around, you know.
Absolutely.
Westside, you know, in Conway as well. Everybody in the crew.
Everybody's got
you
kids,
all,
and that's what we really do it for, you know what I mean? But like I said, you know, sometimes this game occupies a lot of your time. So, you know, you got to, you know, find time to make time with the kids too, which sometimes that's hard to do, you know.
Definitely.
We get it done. We get it done, and we do it good, you know?
Absolutely. Tony, this has been totally tremendous. Like I said, it took a long time, but we got it. You know, anything you need from us, you got our contact information. We thank you so much again. You know, King and myself and tagging the hell out of the Black Soprano page as well as yours.
Yep. So, you know, we appreciate y'all.
Anybody, look, Bill, Benny, Fuego, Zookeeper, you know, everybody in the crew, you know, we would love to have them on the show. You know,
I'm on an interview. I was out there. Yeah, I'm sorry. Should you say that last part? I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, tell Benny, Fuego, you know, everybody in the crew, we would love to have them on the show. Off the Cuff Radio supports everything you all are doing. You know how to reach King and myself, whether IG or on the phone. Thank you so much again.
Off the Cuff Radio, man. You guys had some good questions, and I hope this interview helps some other people. And, you know, knowledge is power. So hopefully somebody gets some power off something I said and helps the way, man.
Man, positivity and pragmaticism, big BS stuff is not only big on the bucks and the bang, but also on the benevolence. and also bright ideas, and most importantly, making them shine bright. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank
so,
you all.
So
yep,
much.
Peace to y'all, brothers. Respect.
Yes,
yep,
sir.
Peace.
Thank you, brother. Absolutely. King, take us out of here.
Definitely, man. Dope show tonight. We're going to have this episode aired this weekend. I'm going to have it premiered on the YouTube channel, the Office of Radio YouTube channel. So y'all can definitely look us up there and subscribe there. Thank you once again, Tony, for joining us, man. We finally got this thing under the books. We hope that we'll do some more work with y'all in the future. And y'all going to see us again whenever the time is right, Danny.
Like my brother said, man, as you can only say it. Peace, love, God bless to you all. Till next time, and we're signing out. One love.
All right.
Good night.
All right.
Out.